Since the dawn of time, God has requested that we give him thanks. Early in his word in the Old Testament, in the book of Chronicles, in chapter 16, there are two verses that deal particularly with thanks. The first one is 1 Chronicles 16:8. That says, give thanks unto the Lord and call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. And that's one of our jobs, is to let other people know that we are thankful, not to anybody else, but the Lord. And then down in verse 34 of that same chapter 16, it says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. 3,500 years later, which is now, his mercy still endures. And if it was not for his mercy, we would not be here. None of us would be here this morning. But because of the mercy of God. This week, we celebrated a holiday called Thanksgiving, and it was the first time that people came together to praise God and to thank him for what he had done. Really, it was not the first time. It happened a long time ago. The Spanish leader, Coronado, with 1,500 of his men, celebrated Thanksgiving in 1541. At the Palo Duro Canyon, Texas, 1541. There was a time of Thanksgiving celebrated in St. Augustine, Florida, with the French Huguenot, which Huguenot stands for Protestants, for the French Protestants, in 1564. That was a long time ago. And we were celebrating in this country. Celebrating Thanksgiving to God. So for over four centuries now, this country has celebrated and practiced. And this word of practice is important. Has practiced Thanksgiving. Man has been thankful to God since really the very beginning. Thanksgiving has always been a part of worship. When we worship God, we cannot worship God without thanksgiving. Many of the Psalms written by King David over 2,500 years ago were intended to be used for the purpose of thanksgiving to God. One of them was Psalm 118, verses 28 and 29, which says, thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. The 136th Psalm, written by an unknown author, was written for the purpose of giving thanks. Psalm 136, 1 through 3, it says, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. And in that statement, his mercy endureth forever, we have the motive for many blessings that God bestows upon us because he does it in his mercy. Another word that we could substitute for mercy would be the word love. His love endureth forever. Now, one of the things that I have observed in more recent years is the general society is becoming less grateful. general society is becoming less thankful for the abundance that God pours out into all of our lives. Children generally are not being taught to give thanks. I had to sort of bite my tongue this morning, Tim, because when you started talking about children being obedient to the Lord, a whole message came to my mind, and we'll have to get into that after Christmas, okay, not before. Many, if not most young people, have an entitlement attitude. They believe that we should give them, they deserve whatever they want. And you see this just repeated over and over. They haven't been given the idea of having to earn something, having to earn what they get. They think that the world owes it to them. And they think that they are being deprived of that, of their right to possess whatever it is that they do want. I fear that failure to express gratitude is just a symptom of a terminal disease that our society has. The disease seems to be progressive with each generation. And unless it is changed, it is eventually going to destroy our society. Lack of gratitude. It used to be that when open for somebody, they would say thank you. And all of you have experienced bumper-to-bumper traffic. You're sitting there and somebody's sitting in a driveway wanting to get out, and you let them out. And now, I don't know about all of you, but I do know about my wife. She notices whether or not they put up a hand of thank you. And if there is no show of thank you, and many times there is not, she always says, you're welcome. Thanksgiving is a very important time for any country, and most nations have a day where they celebrate Thanksgiving. You and I are not capable of inducing the response of Thanksgiving. Only God is, and it has to take place in the heart. The mouth can say thank you, but the heart has to be the part of us that is really grateful. You and I are going to have to show the younger generations what is the purpose and the proper response to what God is doing in each of our lives for His children. And we are going to have to show the younger generation how to be truly grateful for all that God does and for all that Jesus Christ has done for each one of us. In the late 1950s and 1960s, there was a God is dead movement. And it seems like after we got over that and people began to find out that God wasn't totally dead, that Thanksgiving began to wane. That gratitude began to wane. And during the hippie generation, and the more modern Eastern movements, fundamental churches began to go into a decline. And I am so thankful for each one of you who are here this morning because you are grateful to a merciful God. Excuse me. I read a couple of Thanksgiving stories. There was a third grader. His teacher assigned them the lesson to write an essay. Now, for a third grader, that's a bit of a job. But to write an essay is about things they were thankful for. And this third grader came up with this answer for the essay. He said, "I'm grateful that I'm not a turkey." There was another incident. A lady out trying to find the right size bird for her family, which there were several. And she went into the grocery store and she was looking, and the biggest turkey she could find was 22 pounds. And so she asked for the manager of the meat department, and thinking, well, maybe they've got some stock in reserve or something. She said, "Well, so, what are we grateful for? What are we thankful for? Let's consider some of the scriptures that God has given us to cause us to be thankful. When we give thanksgiving to God, it also is meant to encourage each other as we see what God is doing in our lives. Trying to avoid feedback. Ephesians 5:18 through 21 says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord." You will note that 20th verse there in Ephesians 5, 18 through 21 says that we are to give thanks for all things. That includes things that we don't like. And sometimes those are the hard things to give thanks for. Thankful to be alive in spite of the pain. Thankful to have to struggle, for the struggle makes us strong. Thankful for the loved ones that God puts into our lives, even though we don't see eye to eye all the time. I don't know how many of you remember what the pilgrims experienced in the way of Thanksgiving. I'm going to share a little bit of our history of our country with you. The pilgrims set sail for this country November 6, 1620. They spent 2 months on the seas to get here. And when they got here, they came ashore. They knelt in prayer and thankfulness to God. That winter, half of them died. But they were still thankful. During that unusually harsh winter, when so many of them died, they were so happy to see spring come. They were surprised to have an Indian come out of the woods who spoke their language, which he had learned from fishermen. His name was Samoset. And later he returned with a friend named Squanto. Squanto embraced their God and their Savior, Jesus Christ, and became a part of the community. And he taught them how to plant things so they would have food for the following winter. The first year went well. The second year, they experienced a great drought. And the food that they were depending upon, the plants and the vegetables, withered under the drought. And their leader, Governor Bradford, called for a time of prayer and fasting. And they had just begun to pray when God gave rain. Softly to begin with, and more and more and more. And all of those withered plants were revived and began to grow and to fill out. And they had the most bountiful harvest that fall that they ever experienced. And so again, they set aside 3 days in December of 1623 to give God thanks. The first national Thanksgiving occurred in 1789, after the federal government had been formed and the Constitution had been signed. And George Washington declared a time of Thanksgiving. It was the first act of Congress after they set aside the Bill of Rights to declare a day of Thanksgiving officially here in this country, 1789. Our President George Washington agreed with Congress and declared the 26th of November, 1789, as a national day of Thanksgiving. Even during the dark days of the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln declared that the last Thursday of November would be a day of thanksgiving and prayer. And in 1933, President Franklin D. Roosevelt set aside the fourth Thursday of November as a permanent national day of thanksgiving. That's why we're here. In Paul's letter to the Colossians, we read in Colossians 3, verse 17, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Now, earlier we read the letter to the Ephesians and the word all regarding what we were to give thanks for everything. Here we see the word whatsoever. We are commanded to give thanks to God in everything that he brings into our life. That includes the good, the bad, and as Tim mentioned this morning, the ugly. We give thanks to God for everything because of a verse in Romans. Jimmy is not here because Patsy's still not real well. But Jimmy makes a lot of reference to the verse that I love and I love to use so much, Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good. To them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. God would never do anything to harm us. He might permit what we would call bad things to come into our life, but with Romans 8:28, all things, that is part of the all things, work together for good. God knows that when we go through a hard experience, a trial, overcoming an obstacle, that we will result, the result will be that we will be stronger when we get to the other side. One of the things that we are told in God's Word in 5:16-18 says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Why would God command us to give thanks in everything? If everything was not for our own good, God is not a God of bitterness. God is not a God of punishment. God is a God of mercy. Remember the first Psalms that were in the earlier verses that we read out of the Old Testament? For his mercy endureth forever. And folks, that's why we can give thanks this morning, is because the mercy of God does endure forever. The Corinthian church was a church that had a lot of problems. A lot of people don't realize some of what was going on in the Corinthian church. It was a church just about as bad as you can get. They had a young man living with his mother-in-law as husband and wife. And they had other things going on in that church, things that too wicked to mention. They couldn't get along with each other. When they would have communion, as we quarter, some of them were rich would bring an entire meal with them, a feast. Some of them were so poor they had nothing to bring. And the rich ones did not share with the poor ones. They boasted and they took pride in their wealth. And so Paul had to write to them and admonish them not to do these kind of things. Paul had to remind them about what God had done for them. And the last verse of 2 Corinthians 8 was what he reminded them. In 2 Corinthians 9:15 it says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. That's what Paul had to remind them. They were there because Jesus Christ had died. And for that, they were to give thanks. Does anyone doubt what the unspeakable gift was that Paul was talking about? It was Jesus. He's talking about God's Son, God's only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in giving Jesus, he has given us reconciliation. Jesus was the payment or the propitiation for our sin. Jesus provided us with his own righteousness. Jesus gave us complete forgiveness and the indwelling of God's Holy Spirit was the result of our being born again. When you think about it, it is an unspeakable gift. And we ought to say, actually, indescribable or incomprehensible. Thanksgiving is not a one-time thing. You cannot say thank you, God, today and never say it again. Every day should be for the Christian a day of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving to God for all of the things that he has given us. He has so abundantly provided for us. In Psalm 37, verses 4 and 5. We are told, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of his heart, of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. What is it that you really would like to have? What kind of a situation would you like to find yourself in? And it tells us, delight thyself also in the Lord. If you will do that, God will bring it to pass that you might receive what you delight yourself in. Psalm 100, verses 2 through 5, tell us, serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God, it is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into the gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. This is a short psalm, but it's filled with joy. Like the life of the true child of God should be filled with joy. That's what we should all have. As we think about what God has done for his children, how can we not be thankful? In the worst of circumstances, we have so much more than most of the world has. I don't know how many of you did. I know I did. How many of you overate at Thanksgiving? Oh, I wish I hadn't had that last piece of pie. Or that last bite of turkey. Or that last helping of green bean casserole. Or dressing with gravy on it. Don't we have a great deal to be thankful for here in this country? God is so good to us. He gives us everything, not everything we need, but far beyond that, many of the things that we want. In the worst of circumstances, we have so much more than the most of the world. We have brothers and sisters in Christ for which to be thankful. We have a family relationship. This church is a family. It's not individuals sitting here together. This is a family. We sing that song, you know, I'm so glad to be a part of the family of God. This is the family of God. And we want you to feel like you're among family. Not like brothers and sisters who fight all the time, okay? As many of us did. But we are family. We love one another. And for that, we can be thankful. Thankful every day. We have a God who loves us. We have a home waiting for us in heaven. Why would anyone not be filled with joy? All we have to do is look to the Word of God, and the truth about the joy he gives is right there. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. One of my wife's favorite verses, if you just practice it, right? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. You read that again. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, I feel compassion for people who feel sorry for themselves, because God has said that his child is not to do that. We don't have anything to be sorry for other than our sin. God is taking care of us. God has promised to take care of us. God has promised to give us the desires of our heart if we put our faith in God. We're not supposed to worry or think about ourselves. We're to be thinking about others and how we can serve them, how we can show our love to them. Everything we do is supposed to be done with thanksgiving to God for his abundance in all things. I find that when anyone stops being grateful for the things that God is doing in their life, that person immediately loses their joy and bitterness sets in. Let me say that again. I find that when anyone, any Christian, any person in the world stops being thankful for what God is doing in their life, they immediately lose their joy. They begin to become bitter, and no one wants to be around them. But if we will remain thankful, our hearts will be filled with joy. We can be encouraged knowing that God's mercy endures forever. Are you going through a trial right now? God's mercy endures forever. God is going to be merciful to you through this trial. And the best part is, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you have the Holy Spirit living in your heart because you have believed on Jesus Christ, he is going to give you joy. He's going to give you peace. And he's going to give you his love. Thanksgiving, every one of us have much to be thankful for. So during this season, let's not end it. Let's not say, well, Thanksgiving was November, whatever. But every day, see what you can find to give God thank yous for. And every day, you will find that he is blessing you. He is providing for you. He is taking total care of you. Thanksgiving and genuine gratitude must always be a part of the life of every Christian. Always. I'm sure that some of you have had people tell you, oh, thank you. And you say, they didn't mean that. I've heard people say, thank God for this, thank God for that. But they didn't mean it. I trust that each of you will find true, genuine thanksgiving in your heart for our Heavenly Father, who is taking care of each one of us, overseeing what happens in our lives. Because he has a plan for us. He wants each one of us to spend eternity with him. And I trust that you will be working toward that end. Let's pray. Father, may we always have the spirit of thanksgiving in our hearts. May we always know that it is your desire to receive thanksgiving from us. And may that thanksgiving be sincere. May we consider all the things that you're doing in our lives. And Father, we ask that you will help us in our service to thee to help others to be thankful. Use us, each one of us, that others might be able to provide thanksgiving to you for what we can do for them. Father, thank you for saving us. Thank you for providing for us. Thank you for giving us life. May that life be filled with thanksgiving, and we will praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen.